resurrection that are symbols of Christ's triumph. We are looking at this passage to see the grave clothes and the significance of the grave clothes left behind. Now, you and I will probably be buried in a nice suit or a nice dress and put in a coffin and buried, maybe away from our family, someone, we pay someone to bury us. But the burial customs of the Jews were very different. And when we talk about grave clothes, we're not talking about a nice suit. So I think it'd be helpful to look at the historicity and what the Jewish burial practice was so that we can get a better picture of what's happening in this passage. And it kind of give some texture to the New Testament as we can read these archaeological and historical facts about how the Jews buried their dead. Because in John 19:40, it says that Jesus was buried in accordance with Jewish burial practices. And one commentator says that all the details of his burial preparation and his burial in the tomb and the mourning of the women is all smacks of historicity, is how he puts it. It smacks of historicity. It's just fact. That's how it happened, and that's exactly how they would have buried a Jew. So, the Jews took their burial practice very seriously because they had the hope of the resurrection. So we can see, even in the Old Testament, Abraham purchased a cave to bury Sarah. And the patriarchs and the kings of Israel were buried, and Jacob's body was taken to the land of Canaan to be buried in a tomb that he had hewn in Genesis 50. And Joseph was buried in Egypt, but they took up his bones and brought them back to the promised land. See, the Israelites have tombs because the limestone in the land was soft, and they could hew out like a cave to put their dead in. And they wanted to keep their bones because they were waiting for the resurrection. Now, Jesus was buried and taken off the cross because of Deuteronomy 21. God demanded a proper burying of the dead to avoid defilement of the land. So this is what Deuteronomy 21 says. If a man has committed a crime punishable by death, and he's put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but you shall bury him the same day. If a hanged man is accursed by God, you shall not defile the land which the Lord your God gives you for an inheritance. So Jesus is on the cross. He's a cursed man. He was condemned as a criminal. They need to bury him the same day. And that was the Jewish burial practice. Unlike today, if our relatives die, their body might be in the mortuary for days or weeks, even up to a month. But the Jews had to bury them the exact same day. And that's, again, what we see with Jairus' daughter, with Lazarus. They're buried the day of their death. So Friday night, Jesus dies on the cross, and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus take him down off the cross according to the scriptures, according to Jewish burial practice, and they put him into a tomb. And that little portion from John 19 that we read tells us that they bound him with cloth. Now, when we hear that, I think we all think mummy, and it's not exactly like Egypt, but they would wrap linen cloths around the body and interweave spices. It says aloes and myrrh. They put spices around the body as they wrapped the body up. And then, as we said, they would have a cave, and they'd put the body into the cave. Now, the purpose for this was they would let the body decompose. Again, not how we would bury our dead, but there's no coffin. They just put them into a little shelf carved out in the cave and let the body decompose. But they want to keep the bones together, so they wrap it up, and they tie the hands and the feet to keep the body together in one place and just let the flesh rot away. Now, this is exactly what we saw, again, in John 11. Lazarus was bound hand and foot, just like Jesus would have been, and put into this tomb. Now, you can imagine if you have a family burial plot, it's just a cave, And there's a few shelves in there, and there's a bunch of bodies in various states of decomposition. And it would be a wretched, wretched smell. And they would bring spices and perfumes to just give their nostrils a break from the rancid stench. And we see the women coming in the morning because they want to anoint Jesus again and supposedly double-check the work of Joseph and Nicodemus, but also part of their mourning practice as Jews was to come into the cave and put more spices and anointing and mourn over the body. So, this is probably my favorite verse from the King James Bible, is Mary's concerned about Lazarus in the body, in the tomb, because he'd been there for 4 days, and the body's stinking. In the King James, it says, "Lord, by this time he stinketh." He stinketh. So, again, the spices, it's all historical to help keep the stink down so that they could go in and out of these tombs because people were dying all the time. And they didn't want the odors to be just that bad. So Nicodemus puts 75 pounds of spices on him, which is more than typical. That's actually a kingly burial. He buried him in some honor there. So the women are there on Sunday morning. Jesus had been buried Friday late night, spent the Sabbath in the tomb. In the third day, the women are there to mourn him. Now, as they come to the tomb, Mary sees the tomb open. There's no stone as they expected. And her first thought is someone stole the body. Because Jesus was buried with 75 pounds of spices, and Matthew records that he's buried with fine linen, expensive linens, someone came to steal that. Or perhaps for political reasons, or the Jews, religious reasons, they'd come to take Jesus away. So Mary runs, and she gets Peter and John. And they look into the grave, and they see the grave clothes. Now, the other Gospels record that they see the grave clothes, but in John, there's a particular detail. They see the head cloth. Excuse me. In John, they see the head cloth folded up in a place by itself. This peculiar detail is what we're going to focus on this evening. And we're going to look at the apologetic significance, the theological significance, and then the personal significance for us. So, what is the apologetic significance of this head cloth in the grave clothes laying folded up in the tomb? Lately, you may have seen some podcasts or some news articles. They always pop up around Easter about the Shroud of Turin. The Shroud of Turin. I just want to assure you, brothers and sisters, that the Shroud of Turin is not the apologetic significance of these grave clothes. The Shroud of Turin is not where we should be focusing our attention on Easter Sunday. The Shroud of Turin is not the confidence we have that Jesus is resurrected. Some of these apologists go around saying, the Shroud of Turin is the key piece of evidence that should cause you to believe in the resurrection. And they were even saying that when John and Peter looked into the tomb, they saw the Shroud of Turin, which, if you don't know, supposedly has a picture of Jesus on it, and that is why they believed. But I tell you, it's not so. The apostles believed because Jesus' body was gone, and the grave clothes were arranged in such a way that they had to believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe because they have a relic or a talisman. Augustine, 300 years after the apostles, pretty close. Augustine's already complaining about monks who go around and make their living selling the bones and false relics of martyrs and apostles. So just after the apostles, there's already fakes. There's already false relics being passed around. And Augustine's doubting the authenticity. By the time of the Reformation, there was a cult of relics. Every city, every Catholic church had some relic that they would claim is from the time of Jesus and had miraculous powers. So John Calvin, he said, relics are never free from superstition, and they're often the parent of idolatry. He says, in regard to the linen cloth, so talking about these grave clothes of Jesus, why would the evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospels that we have, they record all the miracles around Jesus' death and resurrection, but they just left out that the grave clothes had a picture of Jesus on them, that they're supposedly glowing with the face of Christ? That's ridiculous. He also brings up the fact that there's all a bunch of shrouds, there's a bunch of grave clothes of Jesus in all these churches around Europe. And he says, surely this important detail would not have been left out. And the reason I tell you this, brothers and sisters, if you put your faith in the resurrection and you base it on a shroud that supposedly has a picture of Jesus on it, and then in a few weeks, months, or years, some scientists, someone proves that it's without a doubt a fake, that is going to destroy your faith in the resurrection. We don't believe in the resurrection because we have some relic that tells us so, but because it's written in God's word. So what is the apologetic significance of this grave clothes? So just from what the Bible tells us, looking into God's word, there's no sign of a disturbance or a robbery when John and Peter stoop down into that cave and look inside. Grave robbers could not have been involved, because if you were to steal the body, no one would take the time to unwrap the body that would be like conveniently tied up to pick up and carry, to unwrap it and then to carry just the dead weight of a body with limbs flailing about. Likewise, if you were there to rob the valuables in the tomb, why would they leave behind the fine linens and 75 pounds of spices? Why would they leave that behind? And then also, they were arranged. John says it was folded up. The linen clothes are lying there. And the word for lying there in the Greek is used for like collated papers, like organized legal documents. And the word for folded up means that it's wrapped just how it was beforehand. Why would a robber organize it in such a way to leave it perfectly as it was before? That's like someone breaking into your house and doing your dishes and making your bed for you. It just doesn't make sense. So the apologetic significance is that it wasn't friend or foe. It wouldn't make sense for anyone to leave these grave clothes behind for any reason you could think of, to steal the body and leave the grave clothes. So it's direct evidence that contradicts any theory that the body was stolen. So now let us consider the theological significance of Christ leaving behind his grave clothes. The whole burial process and Jesus being put into the tomb and wrapped in grave clothes firstly shows us Jesus truly died. He really died for us. It wasn't a swoon. It wasn't just that he fainted. But Jesus really died. And John gives us, again, that peculiar detail that the face cloth was folded up. Now, part of the burial process, they'd wrap the body, wrap the hands and the feet, and then they would wrap a cloth around the face to keep the jaw locked in place. Because if you've seen a dead body, When people die, their mouths hang open, and it's uncanny, and you'll remember it if you've seen it. So what they do is, for the viewing, basically put a cloth around the head to keep the jaw in place. So when they look into the tomb, we get that detail. It was still folded up. It's as if it was still wrapped around Jesus' head. Again, the word for folded up is the same word they use for wrapping Jesus. So when they look in, it's as if no one disturbed or moved the grave clothes, like the body's just not there. And this is supposed to be a sharp distinction from Lazarus in John 11. If you remember, Jesus comes to Lazarus' tomb and says, "Come out, Lazarus." And when he comes out, he's bound his feet and his hands and around his body and the headcloth still around his head. And you can imagine he's tied up, so he still has to jump or limp. He didn't just stroll out of the tomb. He's still all bound up by these grave clothes. So these grave clothes show us Christ is sovereign over death and over the grave. The grave clothes could not hold Jesus down. Jesus, by his power, called Lazarus out, but those grave clothes were still clinging to him, still holding him. But Jesus comes out with no grave clothes. So he has power over the death, over death and the grave. And he particularly shows it here. He said in John 10, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down to take it up again." He has the authority to lay it down. He has the authority to take it up. And this was the charge that Jesus received from his Father. And he's showing that. I can take up my own life. The grave clothes cannot hold me. Nothing can hold him in the grave because he is truly righteous. And Jesus did this. In Hebrews it says, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free all those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. So Jesus is free of these grave clothes. He has power over death. But also, his resurrection was different than Lazarus. He came out, no grave clothes. And there's a qualitative difference. Now, A.W. Tozer has this beautiful quote. "It's heartening to learn how many of God's mighty deeds were done in secret, away from the prying eyes of men or angels. When God created the heavens and the earth, darkness was upon the face of the deep. When the eternal Son became flesh, he was carried for a time in darkness in the sweet virgin's womb. When he died for the life of the world, it was in darkness, seen by no one at the last. And when he arose from the dead, it was very early in the morning. No one saw him rise." It's as if God was saying, "What I am is all that needs to matter to you. For there lies your hope and peace. I will do what I will do, and it will all come to light at last. But how I do it is my secret. Trust me and be not afraid." So we get these grave clothes. They're laying there. As if Jesus was still wrapped, the headcloth lying there, still wrapped up. How? We have no idea. A miracle happens in the tomb when the dead body of Jesus is again infused with life. The grave clothes no longer are fitting. The grave clothes are no longer worthy of the resurrected Christ. John Stott says, "Jesus passed from death into an altogether new sphere of existence. It's like a butterfly emerging from a chrysalis. He leaves the grave clothes behind, new." Again, it's the birth of the new creation. Jesus is resurrected in the resurrected, glorified, new creation body that he will share with you and I, brothers and sisters. The cords of death could not hold him. He arose by a miracle, not only living, but glorified. The new body that Jesus stood in was distinct from the body that he was buried in. The identity carries on. It's the same man. He even bears the same wounds. But the body that was abandoned to perish and dissolve as a corpse was unsightly. And being dead, it was weak. But the resurrection body was incorruptible, imperishable, powerful, glorious, and spiritual. So the theological significance is also the grave clothes were left behind to show us that the resurrection was truly the death of death and the birth of new creation. Something new and different had begun. So the personal significance, brothers and sisters, comes with, what are we going to do with this evidence? John saw, he looked in, and he saw the headcloth in particular, wrapped up, and he thought, Peter walks away. Again, it tells us in the other Gospels, Peter marvels at this. He's thinking, what could have happened? John looks in, he sees the undisturbed grave clothes of Jesus, and he believes. John had not yet seen the risen Lord face to face. Thomas wanted to see and even feel Christ before he believed. But Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. John wrote this in the Word about the grave clothes, about the headcloth. And he says just a few verses later, John 20:31, if you want to look there. These things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So what did John believe? He believed that Jesus was actually risen from the dead, that he was the real Messiah, the Lord of glory, the Son of God. So what will you do with the evidence? John didn't fully understand everything. He didn't have a complete grasp of the scriptures. But he saw the implications of the empty tomb and the undisturbed grave clothes. And he believed that his Lord had risen from the dead. If you do believe, you too can leave behind your grave clothes. In John 14, we hear, yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. And because I live, you also will live. For all those who believe in Jesus Christ, we can leave behind our grave clothes. All the infirmity and corruption, all the stench of death, which binds us and holds us down on this earth, will be removed from us. All the sin and impurity that clings to us like clothes, that binds us like those grave clothes, we can leave it behind. And we can be assured of our own blessed resurrection. In Romans 6, we hear, we were buried, therefore, with him in baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. In Philippians 3, Jesus will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. We shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. We, likewise, brothers and sisters, will be instantly transformed. In the twinkling of an eye, will be raised imperishable, perfect in holiness, no more to sin. And I know many of you suffer in your bodies, and you know suffering intimately. You know the corruption and decay that comes with sin. And we'll be free of that. Our graves will just be a resting place for our bones until Christ comes to raise us in glory. So though we die, just as Christ was raised from the dead and left his grave clothes behind to prove his resurrection and his power over death, so he will raise us to be glorious and immortal like him. He will raise us with him. All those who are united to him by faith will have those imperishable bodies. Let us hope in the resurrection because we have a living hope in Jesus Christ. Let's pray.